Welcome to the IRIS podcast. This talk was recorded at Critical Skills for Critical Times conference and workshop organised by Murray Collaborative Learning Network, held at Murray College, 17th of March 2011. Closing address by Mike Devaney, Principal, University of Highlands and Islands, Murray College.
When I was asked to do this by my colleague Cathy, it didn't take long to accept. Generally, whatever Cathy asked me to do, I'd accept very quickly. I was then left to kind of wonder what I'd let myself in for. So further down the line, I approached her and said, Cathy, what exactly am I going to be expected to do in this time? She said, well, really, I just want you to kind of finish the event on a positive, upbeat note. And that was it. That was my brief. And I'd been harbouring this notion that she might have said to me, well, we think you've got so much to tell us about leadership that we kind of could do with the benefit of your wisdom. But no, that never crossed her lips. A few reflections maybe on today. What Aileen had to say, I think, right at the start was very important. I'll come back to that at the end, actually, end with what we started with. But in there, somewhere was logo, and there was an apology, I think, about the fact that we're using the old college logo. I didn't realise until I came here that we've still got these University of the Highlands Islands logos. Presumably worked this out for yourself, have you? These are mountains, and that's the flowing river. But the story behind that is that I think this is a wonderful case study of collaborative working. To get to this point, it's taken 400 years. But to be entirely accurate, the actual partnership bit's only taken about 20 years. And some of us in this room have been through most of that. And I've got colleagues here from Inverness. I see colleagues from Inverness College. Hi. But the college has its own icon, which is available. But the story goes anyway that that was not to be the icon. It was to be a stag. And it was then suggested by one of the partners, Orkney, I think. We don't have any stags in Orkney, so it can't be a stag. So that tells you a lot again about partnership work. 13 colleges all trying to agree on an icon for the university, and it took one of the partners to point out that you can't have a stag because we haven't got any stags on the Orkney Islands. So, before all that, great benefits are we hope will be derived from this. As I said, it's taken us 400 years to get to where we are. But this is an area, we served an area, it used to be always described as an area the size of Belgium, and then suddenly it became an area the size twice the size of Wales. So I take it Wales is half the size of Belgium on that logic. But we already have in Murray and Inverness would have more than we have. We've got over 300 students here studying on degrees, 225 full-time. And none of these people would really be studying at that level unless they were able to avail themselves of higher education. And it's not any old higher education. It's quite radical, revolutionary even, it could be described, higher education, because the economics of higher education in the Highlands Islands didn't work. And they don't work because we don't have the population to support it. And we don't have the population to support it in Elgin anymore. If anywhere can support it, it's Inverness. But typically, you're talking Elgin, Stornoway, Thurso, and so on. And none of us have actually got a big enough population base to make it work. So how do we make it work? We make it work by working together, by having students in the same class at the same time learning virtually by the use of learning technologies, video conferencing, online learning, and so on and so forth. And that is, I can assure you, I think that the change in the learning and teaching in this institution, and I think the partner institutions, in the last 3 years, if you were to go back 30 years, and I've been involved in teaching in 31 years, not always in colleges, right enough, but I would have said in the first 25 years or so, you wouldn't have really seen a lot of difference. Many of you have been at university, and I guess if you go back to university today, by and large, it would be pretty much the same way of going about the business as has been the case for a long time. We haven't got the luxury of that, so we have had to come at this differently. Anyway, that's really a bit of a digression. Maybe a bit of a plug as well. We then hear from Richard Murray, and as we all know, economics is referred to as the dismal science. And I can say that because I'm an economist myself, so I can get away with that. However, I think any economist who puts up a slide entitled Synchronised Global Downturn must have a sense of humour in my book. I also like to congratulate you all for your restraint when you talked about the banking crisis. But he also provided, in all seriousness, a very sobering perspective, and a very sobering perspective from my point of view. I think I've heard it once before, but the reinforcement of it kind of brought it home to me, is the longevity of this, the 16 years that he talked about as being the period of time we're going to have to throw this. And it's not kind of like, in other words, it's not a case of get your head down, guys, give it a couple of years and happy days will be here again, in resource terms. He then invoked a specific problem of youth unemployment, and that was for me quite a recurrent theme, insofar as what that started to do, I think, for us was to start to point to the fact that it's not just about coping with less money, it's also about recognising that the effects of what's upon us is actually going to bring about greater demand for aspects of our services. Anyway, he summed up on a slightly cheery note, he said, on a miserable Thursday morning. So on that basis, I thought, my service is still going to be required at 3 o'clock to cheer you up. So Colin came in and he said, he started off by saying that his introductory remarks would just add to the gloom. So I thought, I'm still in business. He challenged us to accept that the good times involved us wasting resources that can no longer be countenanced. So that was a kind of, no one took him on in that. But he made the important point that we typically only know a year at a time what we've got to play with. I couldn't have known about that for sure about the other services represented here today. But that's certainly the way that we have to go about our planning business. It's like having your, it's like planning with one arm tied up behind your back, I find. So this very, tomorrow, we will be told of our funding for the year starting on the 1st of August. Because we run August to July, that's our financial year. Typically, it's April before we get to know that. Now, I know what people can say. They say, well, wait a minute, you've surely got a fair idea what that's going to be. Yes, within reason. I think it's also the context. He never mentioned this, but it struck me that from that same stable, we may have to regard that things are complicated at the present time, but what one might call, I'm not saying this in a pejorative way, political interference. You know, without wishing to express a view on the merits of the situation, I received a letter on Tuesday from Angela Constance, who I'm sure most of you will know, is now the Minister for Skills and Lifelong Learning. Dear Principal, ministers have made clear on a number of occasions their very strong wish that all publicly funded bodies should seek to avoid compulsory redundancies. I am writing to college principals to reinforce that expectation, to ask that your Board of Management adopt such policy, and to ask that you advise me of your response to my request. Now, it so happens, you see, that this institution, we've pretty much got our 11-12 funding worked out. We reckon that we can avoid that. Who would want to do that if you could avoid it? I might suggest to Ms. Constance. But the fact is, though, Dundee College, £4 million, trying to save for August 2011 onwards, very, very challenging indeed. So what I'm suggesting is that the planning context is far from ideal, and in that vein, I'm aware of structural changes being proposed from Edinburgh in relation to fire and rescue and police. And even in what Michael Russell said in Glasgow at the weekend there, he's talking, holding the prospect of a structural change over the college sector and the university sector as well. Colin developed a point of growing demand because of the effects on poorer households. So he's kind of developing the theme started off by Richard. And that, for me, underscores the importance of the meeting held on Tuesday that some of us were at, Alistair, myself, which was a council event. I see one or two of the council members still here were there as well. It was a Murray Poverty and Deprivation Seminar, which we held on Tuesday, to which the community planning partners were invited. And it seemed to me, and maybe come back to this, what was, I think, agreed on Tuesday, the partnership is working pretty well, but in relation to this agenda, we don't really have much of a clue what we're about. So partnership working is fine. Partnership working is crucial. Partnership working, I think, has been at the centre of what's happening today. But the partnership still needs to know what its priorities are. So at the heart of Colin's exposition was that we stand accused in Scotland of spending 40% of public expenditure on what he'd responded to, what he described as negative outcomes. And then he said, well, we'll be swamped and buried if we don't change our ways. And that, in essence, was what the leadership challenge facing us in this room as he would have it. He clearly had a preference for locally arrived at solutions. And that would involve us working with other sectors and working with voluntary sector and our communities. There may also be something in what he said, I think, about greater devolution or risk-taking within our own organisations. I come very strongly from the no point having a dog and barking yourself school of thought, which I feel that in many cases managers never really kind of get away from. They need to know more than they really need to know. So it's about knowing what is really worth knowing. What keeps you asleep at night might be the test that you apply to that. In my case, there's about four things I really need to know that if I know are all pointing in the same direction, are probably meaning that we're in pretty good health. Student activity levels, staffing costs, student survey results, staff survey results. If these are all saying, are all pointing in the right direction, we're in pretty good shape. There's a lot more I need to know beyond that. But as I said, you've got to accept in a context of slimmed down structures that we all kind of carry on pretending that we can do everything we used to do on an individual basis. And that was the kind of thing that Callum talked about as far as Highlands and Islands Enterprise. I think there was also a strong hint from Colin about the need for us to be imaginative and creative in our approaches And I think, again, it's something I feel very strongly about. I think that we don't give enough creed to these. These are maybe not skills so much as attributes or something like that. Maybe there's another word you apply to it. And I don't know where they normally feature on person specifications, but I think at a time like this, they should be right at the top. But then we eventually got to the point which I think was the one that did really seem to me to come across most powerful today, and that was the need for us to look beyond our boundaries to establish common rather than competing interests. Now, we have the Moray Community Planning Partnership in this part of the world. We, some of us in this room, have worked over an extended period to make it work. I think it does and it doesn't at the same time. Certainly from the college point of view, my view on it is that there's hardly anything we've done in the last few years that we've done well and done to a level of institutional satisfaction that hasn't involved other partners. So I can think of the school-college partnership, I can think of the work done in relation to adult literacy, I can think of the work done in respect of, you know, English for speakers of other languages, I can think of 16-plus agenda and so on and so forth. So Colin's conclusion, hard times, but massive opportunities. And the gauntlet was thrown down to us to do better by our communities, albeit with less. So quite a rousing message, I thought, to end with, but still thought I'd a bit of a job to do at 3 o'clock. Callum, I thought, started strongly and pleasingly with his complimentary reference to the college's legendary scones. But then he kind of went off message a wee bit when he described Moray as a fantastic place and generally being chirpy about everything. So I thought, that's my 3 o'clock slot going for a burn. In all seriousness, no, I would say if he was sitting there, if you want to... An exemplar of top-notch leadership in Moray in the last few months, look no further than that guy. Thrown at the deep end, he's done a marvellous job leading the Moray Task Force and carrying on with his day job. So, although clearly he was coming at it from a different direction, and Colin, in the sense that Colin was really talking about, I think, social services and health services and what, Callum was talking about the economy and the need to get the economy right. It's interesting, actually, on Tuesday, the poverty and deprivation talk, when we talked at the end about the most important things that needed to happen, quite a few of the groups came up with the fact that one of the big problems in this area is low wages. So therefore, what you need to do first and foremost to solve poverty and deprivation is to get the economy right, to change the nature of Moray and what we do and how we do it. His take on the don't waste a crisis plea from Ken Morse brought us to the same place, I think, as Colin, i.e. to work more collaboratively. I think we've been doing, again, demonstrating our ability to do that rather well in relation to the campaign to save Lossiemouth, but moreover, I think the public agencies have done a lot of really interesting work recently in furtherance of the need to support those who are losing their jobs at Kinlossen elsewhere. He mentioned the Moray Life Sciences Centre, and something we're very pleased of. There again is something we offer to host. It's an NHS Grampian. It was an NHS Grampian initiative to start with. We're about to just talk to Graham here about that, get it underway soon. And he talked there about... how did all that come about and how is it going to be sustained? And it kind of comes about and will be sustained in the General Electric discussions and the Microsoft discussions that have been going on, because you've got some clinicians in this area who are full-time clinicians, so they've got a day job, but they've got some great, again, it's back to this imagination and creativity, got really interesting thoughts in relation to how health services are made sustainable. And they have captured the imagination of these multinationals in what they're talking about. And it's quite remarkable that they've actually managed to get their thoughts to the top tables of these organisations. You may be aware that there's also underway what's called Elgin City of the Future project, which is a project which has been consultants have been paid by the Council, College, again NHS Grampian and Highlands and Islands Enterprise, and it's coming out. It'll be made public soon. But here's an extract from it: successful towns and cities are created and sustained by strong and focused leadership. Leadership is the force that directs change and manages collective effort. Developing the capacity for change is about a clear vision, a well-brokered consensus, and a determination to achieve constant progress and clear results. Having a good strategy is not simply an end in itself, and good leadership is required to deliver progress on the ground. And in fact, the consultants put leadership in Moray right at the heart of things. If you haven't got good leadership driving this area forward, you're lost, is really what they are telling us. The leadership agenda is not just about Elgin, they say. It's also about how it assumes and sustains its role as a regional leader driving forward the agenda for Moray. So the gauntlet, again, is thrown down. I didn't take part in the workshops, I'm sorry. I had one or two things to attend to. In any case, I have a like you maybe, do you receive the Ask 10 communications, the leadership tips? Well, yeah, I used to find them terribly irritating, but now I find them, I've grown to like them actually for perverse reasons. They tell you 10 things you didn't, it's 10 things you don't know and cared less about, I guess. And they're becoming more and more bizarre. And I don't know if this came up at the Tackling Different Conversations group, but this came in the other day. While you may be tempted to use words like Armageddon and disastrous when talking about your organisation these days, now is not the time to tell people the sky is falling. In times of crisis, leaders need to choose their words wisely and convey calmness and confidence. Think about these four things. I'll not read them all. When addressing your team, pause before you speak. A well-used pause conveys calm, thoughtfulness and seriousness. It also gives you time to think before responding. Who writes this stuff? Don't blame. Avoid exaggerations. Using words like catastrophe and meltdown can cause unnecessary panic. Tell it like it is. Okay, I would go with that. Tough times demand tough talk. And you owe it to your people to be honest and truthful. Maybe not tough talk, but to be honest, surely. Anyway, so that's the kind of stuff that comes in. And I actually went back to my desk earlier, and they'd sent me another one this morning. This is William Montgomery and his special guest, Sir Mark Stanhope, the first Sea Lord and Chief of the Naval Staff, Ian Eyre, the Commercial Director of Liverpool Football Club, and Simon Woodruff, the founder of Yo, request the pleasure of your company on board Sea Cloud 2, sailing from Nice on the 25th of May and calling at Elba and Portofino before returning to Nice on the 28th of May. So I've booked... Anyway, back to the start again. That's Aileen's contribution. I'm nearly there. And the Collaborative Learning Network. A couple of things that Aileen said I jotted down, but which I thought were extremely telling. Building networks away from the front line, learning with each other and learning from each other. And I think we've had a massive endorsement of these aspirations today from the earlier speakers. So I think the members of the network should be congratulated for being ahead of the game by way of events such as this and for the leadership that they have provided to us in Murray. So I'll conclude by thanking you all for being here today. I trust that you found the college to be good hosts on this occasion. We've certainly been happy to have you here. But more than that, I hope that you'll look back at this event and regard it as having been a very worthwhile use of your valuable time. Thank you.
This recording is copyright of Iris 2011. It may be reused under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 2.5 UK Scotland license. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.